Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Book Talk with Lawrence J. King. From coast to coast, across the nation, Lawrence is an internationally known six-time published author. Book Talk highlights published authors from the local, regional, national, and international scene, as well as showcasing musicians and people of interest in a positive and productive way. Give a rockin' warm welcome to your host, Lawrence J. King.
And thank you for that warm introduction. Today we're going to be having Michelle Svekanis on the air live again, for the fourth time. She's a highly interesting person. Michelle is a registered nurse, a life skills expert and speaker. She's the owner of Medical Matters LLC, offering legal nurse consulting. Michelle has been previously published in nursing publications and two books on poetry. Her other books include Useful Information for Everyday Living and the 411 on Life Skills. She enjoys reading, writing, and spending time with her grandsons. Find out more about the book at www.the411onlifeskills.com. And so without further ado, we're going to get Michelle on the line today. I'm going to be talking about the 411 on step-parenting, an interesting book, an interesting read, full of helpful tips and benefits. Without further ado, here we go. Michelle, are you there?
I'm here. Hello.
All right. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing really well. How about yourself?
Pretty good. Thank you. We're going to be talking today about your book called The 411 on Step-Parenting. And so try to break that down for us just a bit, if you will. Why did you write this book? I kind of know why, because you like to benefit people in everything you do. But other than that, obviously you've had some experience in that area as well. So with that said,
yes.
Break that down for us just a bit.
Okay, sure will. Well, the statistics say that 50% of marriages end in divorce today. 65% of those will remarry, and 40 to 45% of those will bring kids along with them. That said, I did come from a divorced family. I had two-step parents. I still have two-step parents. My husband is a step-parent to my children, so I have a lot of experience in the step-parenting realm. My biggest concern has been for the children. You know, today it seems that divorce is so high, and our younger generation is going from marriage to marriage to marriage and not thinking about the children that they're dragging along behind and the loss that they're suffering because of, you know, not necessarily losing a parent, but a child actually grieves as if they have lost a parent when their parents divorced. So are we really allowing those children long enough to grieve before throwing them into another relationship?
I understand that. Very well put, very well said. Because in essence, that is the trueness of it. Because, yeah, I've seen that myself in personal experiences about the step-parenting, and teenagers have horns. And they say, you can be my dad as long as you give, and let me do what I want to do. However, when
right.
I don't want to do it, then I'm taking my little marbles and I'm running away. And you're not going to be my step-parent, and I don't care ever. You're not being my step-parent.
Right.
So I'm pretty sure you've had those kind of experiences as well.
I do. And you know, recently I heard a young girl say who has a stepmother, she said, oh, we get along great as long as she doesn't try to parent me. And, you know, I kind of looked at her and I said, but that's what she is. She's another parent. She's not your mother. She's not taking over your mother's role. But she is a moral compass for you and an example for you and someone that you can look up to. But she is still a parent to you. She's not your friend. And that's one of the problems that we see with step-parents is they're constantly trying to be the friend of the step-children. You're not their friend, you're their parent. They have enough friends. They got a whole school full of friends. But, you know, you're not their friend, you're their parent.
I understand that. And then that goes into, allowing your child to smoke, and then they go to the school and tell everybody, oh, my parent is so cool, step-parent, and then before you know it, you got people knocking on the door saying, what's this? You know, I've seen both ends of the
right.
perspective. You know, everything works out until you know, you buck them one time and you know, you're trying to be the true parent, step parent, and trying to step into that role and do what's right for them so they can long term A, make it in life, and B, turn out to be something other than, you know, the past and crap behind.
Absolutely. And as a step parent, again, you know, you're their role model, and you want to let them know that, you know, you're still going to support the relationship with their other biological parent, that you're not there to take their place. But, you know, they really need to understand that, you know, you might even have to be the go-between between the two ex-partners, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. You just got to be very careful in, you know, the words that you choose between the two, you know. But when it comes to kids, you know, kids are brilliant. They really are, and they know how to play you. And if they see you're trying to be their friend, they're going to just take advantage of you and run over you, and, you know, you're not even going to know what happened.
I understand that. But then, Michelle, how does one go about not being a friend and setting clear and concise boundaries from the get-go?
Well, you know, the first thing is when you get with somebody with children, y'all have to kind of have the talk. And that talk not only consists of finances and where you might live, what, you know, one day, whose house you might live in, but it also has everything to do with what are your family values, what are your morals, and what are your expectations as far as who can discipline, who cannot discipline, how far can the discipline go. All of that has to be decided up front. And once that's all decided, then you have to sit down with the kids. And you have to talk to the children and tell them what you've both decided and that you're going to back each other fully. So there's not going to be any, you know, one overriding the other or trying to play one against the other. You have to be willing to back each other up 100% when it comes to taking care of the children. Because, again, kids are brilliant, and they will find the weakest person, you know, just like the lions out in the safari. They're going to find that weakest animal, and they're going to attack it, and it's not going to be able to get away. So you have to be really careful and make sure that the two of you are on the same page.
Certainly. And so when does this happen? After the first date, when a man or a woman comes home and goes, whoa, you got four kids. Whoa, I need to work with this for a minute. So at your, you know, what's going on here? When do you have that talk? At what time? Is it 6 months, a year, 3 weeks? Here's how it's going to be kind of thing. So let us know, you know, in your expertise opinion and your expertise wisdom, when is the time to set those children down?
Right. Well, you know, as we kind of said in the very beginning of the call, that, you know, parents really need to consider the wants and the needs of their kids first before even jumping into another relationship. Because divorce and separation, it's hard on everybody. But with children, it can be similar to a death in the family. And that will also depend on where the parent, you know, has to live. If their father has to leave the home and he ends up having to leave the city or the state, you know, that's really, the kids can feel abandoned. So at that point, it's not even fair to bring another person into their life immediately. They need that time to recover. So when a person does bring a new person into their child's lives, they need to understand it can take as long as 2 years for the children to accept them as a person in their parents' life. Now, when we talk about when should we bring them in, you know, when you first start dating somebody, honestly, I would say, you know, you need to date them 6 months to a year before you even introduce them to your children. And, you know, the first few dates, I wouldn't even talk about the fact that you have children. You know, when you're dating somebody, you want to kind of get to know that person. What are their likes? What are their dislikes? Doesn't mean you can't talk about how do you feel about children, you know, because you certainly want to know whether or not they like kids or not. Because if they tell you on the first date or second date, yeah, well, you know, I'm not real big on kids. Well, there's your answer. You know, and you don't want to make it go any further because, of course, you don't want to hurt yourself. But when you want to date somebody, you date them for, you know, 6 months to a year. If you start seeing the relationship get serious and you've had several talks about, oh, yeah, one day I'd love to have kids, or, you know, I like kids and stuff like that, you know, then you need to sit them down and say, hey, this is my situation. I want to let you know I have children and, you know, and be very open and honest with them. Look for their body language. I think we talked about that before, that, you know, if somebody all of a sudden, you know, crosses their arms, they're blocking you, and they don't want to hear what you have to say. If they're not looking you in the eye, they're looking for a way out. So be very in tune to the body language that they're showing you. And again, when you do decide, okay, it's time for you to meet my kids, okay, the first meeting is the most important meeting, okay? You have to plan in advance. And we want everyone to walk away feeling comfortable. And, you know, you want that first meeting to be pretty casual. You want it to be, if you have small children, you want it to be in a kid-friendly place. And if not, you could, you know, have your new friend over to dinner at your home. And if he, you know, if he wants to or she wants to, let them bring gifts to your kids. Of course, nothing big and extravagant and expensive because you don't want to buy their affection. But a little, you know, a little candy or a little something small. Make sure to keep a time limit on the activity. And there should be absolutely no overnights until the children become more comfortable with the new person. You know, kids get attached very easily to other people that are nice to them. So if you want to date someone, that's why I say date for quite a while before you introduce the children, because once those kids get around that person, you know, if they hit it off really well and they like to do fun things and everybody likes to do fun things together, and then all of a sudden you think, wow, maybe he's more interested in my kids than he is in me, and you break it off, again, the kids are going to think, what did I do? Gosh, my parents got a divorce because of me. Now my mom, you know, dumped this guy because of me. So you got to be very, very careful how you, you know, handle your relationships when there's children involved.
Absolutely. That's why we're talking about the 411 on step parenting. Essential tips on communicating and bonding, combining families, and a whole lot more. I hear what you're saying, Michelle. So would you say, in fact, that it would be wrong and inappropriate to say immediately, I have three kids, instead of waiting for a period of time?
Well, in my opinion, it depends on how comfortable you feel. You know, I personally, you know, I wanted to get to know my husband before telling him I had two children. The funny story was, though, when I met him, we dated a couple times. And then finally, you know, he came to my house to pick me up. Of course, my children were not home. They were off with my ex-partner. And my husband now, he saw pictures of my children, and he's like, I know these kids. And I thought, oh, wow, how do you know my kids, you know? But it turns out he had known them from a summer camp that wasn't too far from our house. So, you know, that to me, that was kind of cool because he knew them, and he kind of knew what he was getting into. And unfortunately, it did all work out. But a lot of times, you know, people are really shy of other people with children. And they're not sure that they're ready for that responsibility if they don't have kids of their own. So, you know, on the first date, would I say, hey, I've got three kids, how about you? Maybe not. You know, just see how the two of you enjoy each other's company, if you enjoy each other's company, you know, and just kind of just get to know each other on an adult level before you bring the kids into it.
Point taken. You know, they always say if you want to see someone to stick around for a long time or any time, tell them the worst thing about you, and then you'll quickly see and understand if they're going to be around any time or for a long time or at all. So, yeah, point taken. I understand your wisdom. And that's a serious, serious subject matter. So let's get into this book, if we can, just a bit deeper.
Okay.
And go into chapter by chapter, if you will, and hopefully we don't run out of time, and just elaborate on us a bit about the number one chapter, children first, age-old myths before the I do's, you know, just go down the book and break it down for us and, you know, let us pick your brain and share your wisdom with us.
Okay. Well, in the children first chapter, that was kind of where we already talked about taking it slow, that allowing the children time to grieve over the loss of the parent, and just to kind of, you know, once you start dating, to kind of check each other out. Remember that small children will adapt to someone quicker than an older child. And there's no need to rush anything. You know, you really need to just make sure everybody gets used to each other before you decide whether you want to create that new family or not. And then we get into chapter two, which is our age-old myths. You know, we know about the stepmothers, Cinderella, how wicked they are, and they're always, you know, fighting for the father's affection from the children. And you know, then we have the Brady Bunch. You know, everybody pulled together, and we're one great big happy family. And let's get real. You know, although those are kind of, you know, myths, because they're TV shows, some happen that way, some don't. But some of the other myths are, you know, love occurs instantly. You know, just because you love that new person, you want your children or your stepchildren to love that new person, and it may not happen that way. They say children are forever damaged. Now, you know, I can speak from experience here. My parents got a divorce when I was about 15, and I'm truly not damaged. Today I released my 11th book, so I think I'm doing okay. They say that children adjust more easily if the biological father or mother is not present. And that's not true. Children have two biological parents, and they will adjust just fine if they have access to both of those children. You know, when you divorce your partner, you need to sit down with your children and let them know it was not anything that they did to cause it, and that you both will love them and support them and continue to be there for them no matter what. You know, sometimes we just got to suck it up and be there for the children. Chapter three, we get into before the I do's. And this is kind of where we sit down and we determine, okay, I've just decided or I've gotten through this really bad divorce. So what kind of things do I need to do to make maybe a relationship in the future better, okay? So you want to make sure that you know that too many changes at one time can truly upset your kids. And that, you know, we talked about love and affection occurring instantly. It doesn't. It takes time to develop. It can take up to 2 years for a child to accept someone in your life. And, you know, we also talked about how each child is different, the different ages. You know, kids under 10, they are more accepting of a new person in your life. But they might feel a little competitive for their parents' attention. Kids 10 to 14, you know, those poor kids are struggling as it is just on their own identity alone. And they might have the most difficult time adjusting to a new step-parent. So you got to make sure that you give them more time to bond before accepting a new person in charge. And then when you get to our beautiful teenagers, you know, again, this is a really hard time for kids, for teenagers. This is a time, 15 and older, when our teenagers tend to separate from the family and try to form their own identities. They'll probably have a little less involvement in the step-family life, but again, they're the most rebellious of all children. They just need to know that they're loved and supported and secure, but of course, from a distance. So we just want to make sure that, you know, we take into all of the consideration, the age differences. Is if your new person is going to be a new parent or if they're bringing children of their own, how the family structure, you know, will change. And just make sure that, you know, a family can't be said to be truly blended until all members, both parents and children, fully accept one another. So you just have to be patient. Then we get into chapter 4, and we talked a little bit about this already, relationship building and roles. Kids just want to feel safe and secure. They want love and attention. They want to be seen and heard and valued. But we also have to place limits and boundaries on them because, again, they're really smart and they will play you for a fool. So as a step parent, you want to make sure that, you know what your role is because you discussed that with your partner before you got involved with the children. If you can discipline, if you can't. And it's actually best in the first, say, at least year or two until that child gets used to you, that only the biological parent really enforces the discipline. That's not to say the step parent couldn't have, an interjection or an opinion of it, but the biological parent should be the one with enforcing the discipline. We get into chapter 5, and we talk about successful step-parenting and communication. Now, this is a really important chapter because communication is what it's all about. First, you got to let the kids know that you and your ex-spouse are going to continue to love and support them just from separate homes. You need to let them know that your new partner is not a replacement, but another person to love and support them. And this is where active listening comes in, and this is really important. Active listening, it's a communication technique that helps you to understand what's being said. So how you do that is the child's speaking to you, and you allow them to continue without interrupting them. And then once they're done, you repeat back what you thought you heard and allow them to correct you. Because, a lot of the kids today use LOL and R-O-F-L, and, they all stand for something. So, and it's maybe some of the older generation may not understand what they're trying to say, and they might be thinking they're saying something really bad to them. So you've got to kind of clear that up with active listening. And, there could be some really good laughter in there, too. We have a lot of mixed families where different ethnic backgrounds and, different types of languages are spoken and different cultures. And, so there's some real miscommunication going on, and we've got to make sure that everybody understands everybody.
Understood.
And we're just going to keep moving on?
Yes, just keep moving on. We have a lot of ground to cover. I want you to mainly, highlight and touch base on all your chapters. There are like 26 of them, I believe, 27.
There's quite a
and
few.
So, just keep on rolling.
All right. In chapter 6, we talk about the financial concerns. So, when you decide to commit to each other, the financial discussion is usually left for last. And actually, it should be one of the first things you discuss because you need to know each other's financial obligations before those I do's. Because a lot of times, people don't find out until later that the other person was basically drowning in debt. So knowing what you're getting into before you take those marital steps is really vital. So, not only does it help with communication, but it also helps with trust. Because if you can't trust your partner to come clean about their finances before the marriage commitment, what else might they try and, hide from you? So you're also going to talk about where you're going to live, You don't want to really uproot the kids if you don't have to, but sometimes you have to. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in another chapter. Chapter 7 is on introductions, and this is where we talked about, make it a kid-happy place or a safe space for the kids and take it really slow and make sure that you don't get discouraged if your child instantly hates your new partner or if they have children and bring them with them. Don't get discouraged if the kids don't like each other at first. Kids got to kind of size each other up just like adults do. And you want to make sure that, don't leap to conclusions. And when it comes over to winning over somebody else's child, you definitely don't want to judge them. You want to kind of hold back a little bit. Let the child come to you. You know, don't force them to hug you if they're not comfortable hugging you. You know, a lot of times, you know, my family, we're a bunch of huggers. And so when my daughter married her husband, he had two daughters or has two daughters. And so, you know, when it came time to hug, you could just tell that maybe they weren't totally used to that, or at least from strangers. So it was really awkward at first and really hard. And now it's great. You know, everybody knows grandma wants a hug, so you give grandma a hug. So, you know, it takes everybody time to get used to everybody. And if you just allow that time, everything will be good. We start out in Chapter 8 with family rules and discipline. We talked about, you know, maybe the step-parent shouldn't discipline for the first year, but you must both agree on the type of discipline that it is going to happen. You want to make sure to set your family values, like who's going to be responsible for what? What will our curfews be? Are there limits, like on the TV, the computer? What are the dating rules? What age? We want to make sure, you know, how's our privacy respected? We want to make sure to set up all the rules ahead of time and sit down with the children and explain the rules so they know that you're both coming from the same place. And I want you to remember that, you know, when you have two separate houses, when mom lives in one house and dad lives in another house, you're going to have two houses and two sets of rules. And what happens in your ex-partner's house, as long as it's not detrimental to the health and welfare of your children, is none of your business. And that is a really hard pill to swallow for some people. But you cannot control what goes on in the other home. Chapter 9, we talk about needing privacy. You know, when you get married, the first year is the honeymoon year. But when you throw children into that, that honeymoon year is pretty tough. So you have to make sure that you set up rules. Everyone's got to knock on the closed bedroom door before they enter, and they got to wait for an answer. You got to assert your need for private time. Hey, y'all go watch TV for a little while. We just want to, you know, we're going to go in our room and talk, and we just need a little us time. But you also got to respect your kids' personal space. That way, they'll be more apt to return the favor, you know. And a lot of times, just because you have plans, all of a sudden the ex drops the kids off at your house, called surprise custody. You know, sometimes you just got to rearrange your schedule and deal with it. Because, you know, your children, you got to remember, your children didn't ask to be born. You decided to have your children. You need to take care of your children, and you need to love your children. Chapter 10, we talk about don't get stuck in complaint mode. You know, some of the top biological parent complaints are, my partner's too harsh on my kids, and kids aren't perfect. They're just kids. Or, my partner wants to take over. I did fine when I was by myself. Or, my partner wants the kids to love her like their own parent. Children should not be pushed so hard. And then we get into the top step-parent complaints. No one appreciates or respects me for how much I work or how much I do for everyone. I feel like a third wheel. Another one, there's no privacy around here. I want a baby and my partner doesn't. My partner expects me to take over and be the parent to make everything better. Last I knew, we were supposed to share responsibility. So, you know, these are top complaints that you want to sit down and you want to discuss. And, you know, everybody complains. It's part of life. But when you decide to take on the role of step-parent, you know, it's a pretty big responsibility. So when you do decide to take on that role, you got to make sure you're in it for the long haul, because things are going to happen. And you just got to suck it up and be able to deal with it. Chapter 11, bringing in a new baby. You know, sometimes it's hard to tell your children that you and your new partner, you and your new husband, or you and your new wife are going to have a new baby. Because a lot of kids lose, you know, they might have been the oldest in that family, or they might have been the youngest in that family, and now all of a sudden they're losing their status. You know, they might have been the only boy in the family, and now all of a sudden here comes another little boy, and they're losing their status. So it's really, really difficult on children. You want to make sure to tell the grandparents, you know, even though your ex-husband is not in your life, parents are still in your children's life, and they're going to have a new brother or sister. So the grandparents need to understand the rules of the kids are allowed to talk about their new brother or sister at their house if it comes up. You know, I've seen families to where they don't want any, they don't want to hear anything from the other house about the other family. And you know, it's really unfair to the children because that's their family. So you have to be very careful in making sure that everybody understands the ground rules. You want to include the children during the pregnancy. If you have ultrasounds, you know, let them come to it, let them see it. After the baby arrives, you know, get them to help you. Maybe just bring diapers or, you know, talk to the baby, entertain the baby while you're changing them. But just make sure, you know, because the biggest problem that you're going to run into with the children is the baby's going to have a different last name, chances are, than what your children do. And it's going to take some explaining, especially if they're a younger child. Now, if the other parent is no longer in, you know, the child's life, you might want to consider adoption so that you have, you know, an entire family with one name, but you don't have to. Okay. Chapter 12, we talk about when stepchildren visit. You know, sometimes it's really hard when they don't live with you all the time and they only come every other weekend. And it's really hard to get to know them. It's hard to get close to them. But I want you to make them feel welcome. I want you to create a space for each child, even if it's just a shelf or a closet or a bed or a dresser drawer, and don't touch their stuff. Make sure to give the children public acknowledgement, you know, but keep it subtle. Just, you know, just kind of add their name to the mailbox or, you know, when you're out, introduce your stepchildren to your friends and your family by their name and tell them about, you know, your daily life and show them where you go to meetings or clubs or any other events that are very important to you. And if you can, try to make sure that you spend time alone with your stepchild so that it's just you and your stepchild so that you can kind of get used to each other and get to know each other a little bit better. We want to make sure that you don't try to change them. You know, children are who they are and how they were raised. So just, you know, be really careful. That's not to say you can't correct them if they're doing something rude or inappropriate, but don't try and change who they are. And know that the child is not a messenger between you and your ex-spouse. Don't tell them, go tell your dad this or go tell your mom this. Don't put them in the middle. That's not their job. As a stepmother or father, don't try and buy them. You can't buy their love and affection because that's when they're going to turn the tables on you and they're going to use that to their advantage. In Chapter 13, we talk about problem children. Now, problem children, you're going to see a lot of times when there's a divorce or a separation, or a new family configuration. You know, these are hard things for a kid to adjust to. And most children of divorce, they're at risk for depression or stress, and sometimes this can turn into self-destructive behaviors and failing in school or even addictions, depending on their age. So you want to make sure that you look for the key signs that indicate your child's in trouble, like school problems or peer relationship problems or problems at home. And, you know, if the child doesn't reside with you, it may be difficult to tell if they're having problems. But this is where the communication between the two parents, or ex-parents, biological parents, is so important. You have to keep the lines of communication open in order to deal with your children. Chapter 14, we talk about teenagers and what to expect. Teenagers, man, they can make your life around the household pretty rough if you allow them to, okay? Just make sure that don't take it personally and don't compare or compete with the other biological parent. Be neutral as much as you can, and don't push for affection or attention or a response. And always make sure to encourage your partner to, you know, include you. A lot of times when kids visit, say they're just coming every other weekend, that biological parent misses that child and wants to spend time, as much time as they can, and sometimes leaves you out without even realizing it. So you just want to kind of pull them to the side and say, hey, you know, I kind of feel like a third wheel here. Can I be included? Maybe you could go spend an hour alone, you know, with them, and I've got things or errands to run or things to do anyways. So, you know, just make sure that they're including you. And then we come to chapter 15. We talk about adult stepchildren. Oh, some of the worst. You know, you got to keep these things in mind when you're dealing with adult children. You might have a problem of being taken seriously as a person or as the biological parent's partner. Your motives might be looked at with suspicion. If, you know, if there's a big age difference, they're going to think that, you know, you're just after their parent for their money or their property. So you want to make sure that, again, you try and spend time alone with them and take everything as small steps. Try and find some neutral ground where you might have, you know, something in common, and just kind of build on that. But just make sure that, you know, it may take a little longer for adult stepchildren to accept you, especially when you start talking about legal issues like wills or power of attorneys and those kind of things. It will become a more serious issue. Chapter 16, we talk about finding a home. We kind of talked about that a little earlier. You want to make sure you know which house that you're going to live in. Try not to uproot the children from school, because they've already been through enough with a divorce and now meeting a new person, and you're going to uproot them from school, and you're just looking for trouble. You've got to be careful. And that's not to say, you know, you can't move and everything will be okay, but you really got to watch your kids and make sure that they're doing okay in school and that, you know, they're not paying the price for your moving around. Okay? Chapter 17, we talk about cross-cultural step families. You want to make sure that you introduce the children to your culture, if you're of a different culture. Teach them about the foods, about the language, about the country you come from. Let them know who you are. And then also let them do the same for you. What do they like to eat? Where do they like to go? And are their favorite songs, you know, do they have family songs? Is there something that is extremely important to them that you should know about? And this is, again, where the active communication comes in. We talk about religious differences, socioeconomic differences. Because of different cultures, you could have food and dietary restrictions. So everybody needs to know what's going on and how to deal with it. Chapter 18, we talk about the grandparents. Now, I'm a grandparent, and I can tell you that, you know, my daughter was a single mother for many years. And so it was very difficult in sometimes trying to bite our tongue to not say the things that we wanted to say. So I can honestly say that as a grandparent, you have to be supportive of your children and their new the new person in the other biological parent's life. You don't have to like them. You don't have to go out to dinner with them. You don't even have to have Christmas dinner with them. But you have to show your support to the children and not say bad things. Because, you know, I have seen parents that have told the grandparents they can't see the children because of the derogatory things that they've said about the family. You know, and it's really placed the children in a bad light. So, I talk about grandparent rights in this book, and some states allow grandparents rights to their children or grandchildren if something were to happen, and other states don't. So make sure to check with your state to see what type of rights that you have as a grandparent. Chapter 19, we get into the extended family, which is the aunts, the uncles, other relatives, the intrusive ex-partner. We want to make sure that, you know, again, it goes back to letting the children know that you're there for them. You're not trying to take over the parenting role. You're just another person there to love them and support them. And you can even, you know, make it in the light to where how blessed they are to have so many people to love them and support them in this extended family. You have to set goals for your family. And you got to be very careful with the intrusive ex-partner because they will try and worm their way in and try and, you know, make trouble for your new family. And you just don't want to do that. Bad mouthing, bad idea. And make sure that the children understand there's absolutely no competition. Chapter 20, we talk about planning holidays. You know, when we talk about Christmas and Thanksgiving and graduation and birthdays, you know, it's pretty difficult to be in so many places at one time. So you have to agree on who's going to spend the holidays where, and you have to take into account the religions involved. And you want to make sure that if your children or stepchildren say they can't be with you on Thanksgiving, okay, create another special day and have that in place of Thanksgiving. And you can call that day anything you want, but just, you know, have a little party, throw a party, just to let them know that you appreciate them, and even though they couldn't be with you on whatever holiday it is, that you can still create your own holiday, okay? Create new, I just lost my train of thought, I apologize. If you're starting from scratch, you want to make sure then to create new family rituals, you know, things you've never done before. And again, create your own holiday. And don't try and recreate the last rituals that you had. Don't try and make it as the way it was. It didn't work the way it was. So why would you want to try and make it still the way it was? Okay. In the next chapter, I talk about getting help. You know, a lot of times when children go through a divorce, they are so scarred and they just can't move on from it, that you have to seek professional help. You could talk to their pediatrician, who could recommend a psychologist or a marriage and, you know, family child counselor, a psychoanalyst, a psychiatrist. There's all kind of great people out there, a pastor at a church, a social worker. There are wonderful people out there just ready to help you and your children make it through a difficult time. There is no embarrassment to be had in asking for help. Just ask for help. In chapter 22, we talk about the different types of custody, whether it's shared custody, single parent custody, is custody renegotiable? We talk about visitation versus spending time. And I can tell you, if you tell your children or stepchildren that you're going to spend Thursday night together from 6 to 7, be there. Don't cancel on them. You know, kids really look forward to different things in their life, and believe it or not, spending time with either their biological parent and many times their step-parent is very important to them. And if you start canceling on them, that's one more disappointment for those children to deal with. You don't want to disappoint the children. Chapter 23, we talk about medical consent. And the reason I put this chapter in there, being a registered nurse, I've seen, you know, kids brought to an emergency room by a step-parent who didn't have a medical consent form. And, you know, if you don't have a power of attorney or a medical consent form, a lot of times the child won't be treated right away. They have to try and get a hold of the other parent. Of course, the hospital has to stabilize the child, but any kind of delay in any kind of medical emergency, it can be life-threatening. So you want to make sure as a step-parent that you have the right or the right paperwork to be able to take children to get emergency care, routine medical care, anything that has to do with their health and well-being. chapter 24, we talk about same-sex marriages and step-parenting. You know, a lot of times people coming out of the closet, it's difficult enough for themselves, but when you involve children, it can confuse the children. So you have to be very careful how you come out and talk to them. You know, first reactions, sometimes it's really hard and the children may take it wrong, and you just have to keep talking to them. Again, that's where the active communication comes in. And you have to talk about your roles. You know, who's going to discipline the children? Are you going to allow the discipline? Are you going to allow them to, you know, maybe later adopt the child? A lot of things to consider there. Chapter 25, I talk about child support. Again, your child did not ask to be born. And there are so many deadbeat dads and deadbeat moms out there. And I know situations happen to where, you know, it's hard to come up with money to pay the other person. But, you know, every little bit helps. Child support is not tied to custody or visitation agreements. So a parent's not allowed to withhold support payments even if he disagrees with the ex-partner, or even if the ex-partner, you know, is out of line and forbids visitation. You know, you can't, just because your ex-partner is not paying you support, you can't deny them visitation with the children. And, you know, there's good and bad in that. I personally think that if you created that child, you pay for that child no matter what. And I don't think it should be easy for anybody to just sign off their rights. You know, again, that's your responsibility. I feel that everybody should pay on time and not have to enlist child support and enforcement office. You know, it's really hard on the children because there's daycare costs, there's health insurance. You know, there's a lot of different money aspects involved when it comes to support. And the children, you know, you can't leave it up to the one now single parent to try and raise your children the right way. It takes two, even though you're not living together. So please don't withhold money from your ex-partner just because you're mad at them or you don't feel like paying it. Chapter 26, I talk about step-parent adoption. We talk about why you should adopt your stepchild and when not to adopt your stepchild. There's also legal guardianship. I really encourage you to seek out a good lawyer if that's something that you want to do. You want to get consent. The other biological parent, if they're still living, has to give consent for that child to be adopted. And then if you can't get consent from the child's parent, then you got to go to court for a termination of parental rights hearing, and that is such a long process. Again, if you decide to adopt your stepchild, then they could change their name and everybody could have the same last name. And there is a big home study that's done. I want you to know about that. And then, of course, there's a waiting period and an adoption hearing. And then the very last chapter is my conclusion. And I just kind of threw in some things in there. I want people to be flexible, be honest, be patient. Above all, keep your sense of humor because you're going to need it. I want you to be understanding. Love the children no matter what. Keep that spark in your marriage and spend time together away from the kids. I want you to, as a step-parent, encourage the relationship between the children and their biological parent that's not living with them. You know, explain to the children the financial situation of the family. Establish the core values and make new memories. And the things that I don't want you to do, I don't want you to judge, criticize, force that new relationship. I don't want you to choose sides. I don't want you to let the ex-partner be dependent on you. Don't keep the kids from their biological parent. Don't withhold support. Don't take things personally, and above all, don't badmouth your ex-partner in front of your children.
I understand. There you have it. Very, very, very good. Very, very awesome. And now I understand fully and completely why you are also a motivational speaker, because you can go, girlfriend. You can go. There we have
it. Well, you told me
to. Absolutely, and that's what I wanted. I want my audience to hear all of your knowledge, and so that will help them in some kind of way, hopefully. And I want to know a question to be answered by you. What is the most difficult task as a step-parent?
Trying to fit in. Trying to figure out where they fit in between the biological parent and the child. You know, we all want to be acknowledged. And a lot of times, you just got to be acknowledged. Say your birthday's coming up. You know, your stepchildren aren't going to know your birthday's coming up. So you kind of have to just make an announcement and say, hey, my birthday's Saturday, and I would love it if all of us could go to dinner together. That way, hey, they know your birthday's coming, and maybe your new partner, he didn't realize it was coming either, so you just let them know. But, you know, but if they don't acknowledge you or on your birthday or give you, you know, really go over the top and give you gifts and lavish and everything, don't take it personal. Again, you might be in that two-year period that they're still trying to get adjusted to you. So, as you know, just don't take things personal.
I understand. It is truly a difficult task to be a step-parent. Speaking from personal experience and a little insight about my nature, my mother, God rest her soul, she worked three jobs to keep us together. She was in a orphanage growing up, and she did not want us to have that feeling that she went through. Kudos and respect to her. And so my point is, if there is a point, it's a difficult job to become a step-parent, period, because there's so many challenges, trials and tribulations, and also wonderful moments, if you will. But Michelle, in fact, is it good to be a step-parent, or is it better for the two people that birth these children to stay together? Or does it, at some point, you got to cut your ties and move on, because I've seen people stay together just because of the kids and hate each other.
Right. Yeah, I truly don't agree. Two people just don't love each other and they can't work out their differences, that they should stay together for the children, because eventually everybody's miserable, including the children. And let me tell you, children are very intuitive. They pick up on everything, and they know when you aren't getting along, and they know when you're having problems. And it starts to affect them whether they say anything or not. You know, I suggest people to, you know, go to counseling, try and see. It could just be a little minor difference that you just don't know how to communicate well, you know. And so you just need to talk to somebody else as a third party so that they can open that line of communication. And then you go, oh, yeah, okay. You know, I'll try and do better there. You know, I just really feel that, you know, 50% of marriages ending in divorce each year, that's way too high. That is just way too high. You know, if you have someone that's, you know, of course, unfaithful to you, or who is, you know, beating you every day, or even verbal abuse to you every day, nobody deserves that. And no, there's no reason to stay into a marriage like that, because if that person is doing that to you, eventually as the children get older, they're going to do it to them. And we want better for our kids. We want the best for our kids. So if you're in that type of a relationship, please get you and your kids out of it, because they don't deserve it, and neither do you.
Very well said. I understand that. And like I said, you know, my mother, she chose not to have any other person in her life. And I respect mm-hmm. that. I respect that hands down. I respect that. And so different people make different choices. That's
yes.
a guarantee. Michelle, your book, The 411 on Step-Parenting, where can my listening audience pick up these books, all your books, and if you will, be so kind as to allow my audience to understand where they can get all your stuff.
Okay. Well, my website is my411books.com. They're also sold on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, any other major online book retailer. You can also pick them up on my other website, which is called TakeActionWithMichelle.com, and again, online at any online book retailer.
Awesome, awesome. And in our final 4 minutes, what would you say was the easiest book that you've written? I know you've got 11 books and counting. What was the easiest book for you to write, and what was the most difficult book that you have written?
Okay. Well, actually, the two easiest book I wrote were my children's books, because they were just fun and playful. That's Aaron's Special Family and Aaron Bug. They were just so much fun. The most difficult book that I've had to write was the 411 on Surviving Teenhood, because I wanted to make sure that I captured enough information that not only parents could read it and it would help them to understand what their teenager's going through. I mean, we've all been teenagers at one time or another, but the time of, you know, today with teenagers is so much different than, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago as a teenager. But I also wanted to make sure that teenagers could read it and understand it and know, okay, what I'm going through is pretty normal and this is what I need to do for help, or maybe this is how I need to talk to my parents so I can get the help I need. Because, you know, communication is a true barrier. So many people are just so willing to throw their hands up in the air and say, well, do what you want. You know, I give up. Don't give up on your kids, you know. The 411 on Surviving Teenhood is help for you not to give up on your kids.
And I think you were telling me that you had an expo in Canada or something. Did you go? Are you going? How did that work out for you?
No, I haven't been to Canada. Maybe one day. I actually have a certification I'm going through, or renewal. Next week, I'll be gone to Orlando for the week and renewing my John Maxwell certification. I'm a certified coach, speaker, and trainer through the John Maxwell Company. And that's kind of what's driven me to write the 411 on Reinventing You, which is what I released today. It's on Amazon and my websites as well. And just helping women to try and reinvent themselves, whether it's a new career, a new job, or just a new, hobby that they want in their life and they're not sure how to get it.
I understand. So, Michelle, how do you juggle all these things? I mean, you're a 10-time published author, 11. You go here, mm-hmm. You go there, you got a family. How do you juggle all these things?
Well, kind of one thing at a time, but I am what they call an overachiever. So, you know, I thrive on being busy and creating stuff to help people, you know, make their lives easier. Because as I find all these shortcuts, I get all excited and I think, oh, everybody else needs to know about these shortcuts too. So that's why I create my books. I have a 10 CD set. I also have an 8 CD set coming out in the next week or two. I'm excited about that. And it's all about personal growth, self-help, and just growing forward in your purpose. I want everybody to find their passion and live their passion, and that's why I'm here.
Thank you, Michelle. That's awesome, and I know you mean that from your heart. And so it's about that time. So with that being said, thank you again for being a guest on my show. We were talking about the 411 on step-parenting. We have two more live interviews to do with you, and I welcome that. And so before we sign off the air, do you have anything you'd like to say further?
You know, it's always a pleasure, and I just, you know, I'm here to help you. If you need to contact me, you can do that through my website, my411books.com. I'd be happy to help.
Thank you, Michelle. You're amazing. Keep doing what you do because you do it so well. And so on that note, I will let you go, and I hope you have an awesome evening.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you, Michelle. All right, this is Lawrence J. King from Book Talk Radio in the house, getting ready to be out of the house. We were talking about the 411 on step-parenting with Michelle Svetkonis. This lady is amazing. She's got it going on, and she speaks the truth. She's trying to help people in every day and every way. So if you want to get some of that, listen to the radio show. You know where you can pick up her books. You know this lady is amazing. And so with that being said, thank you for tuning in to Book Talk Radio. Thank you, and good night.